In February, the Trump-run National Institutes of Health issued a notice that would immediately cap indirect cost rates for all grants, new and existing, at 15%. About a month later, a federal judge issued a nationwide injunction on the cuts, saying the NIH ruling is unlawful. Despite continuing litigation, research institutions wonder if they'll need to slash their budgets.
The impact is hard to underestimate, but it is huge.
That's Dr. Elena Fuentes-Affleck, the chief scientific officer at the Association of American Medical Colleges, a lobbying group.
The sudden nature of the announcements, along with the threats that they represent to financial stability, are very disruptive all across the country.
She says the timing is also a big issue.
Every month is important, but this month or this time in the spring is disproportionately recruitment and hiring time.
UAB administration officials declined to specifically comment on multiple occasions on the NIH cuts, including on what impact the potential reductions are having already. Instead, a spokesperson for the university sent a statement that UAB officials are, quote, closely monitoring and assessing the developments regarding recent federal orders. Multiple faculty members spoke with WBHM, but they asked not to be named because they said the administration discouraged them from speaking with WBHM about this story. To a certain extent, I understand. The measure would ban all inhalables containing THC and CBD, including vapes and hemp flower. And while it will allow the sale of some edibles and beverages, it caps the total THC in each serving at 10 milligrams. According to at least one hemp store owner, the legislation will cause many businesses like his to close when the bill goes into effect this summer.
80% of our sales go out the window July 1st, and it's just a matter of time then.
That's John Parker, the owner of Near to Me Dispensary on Birmingham Southside. He notes that several legislators sponsoring bills to prohibit these hemp products this year said the effort was to further safeguard children, a ban that was already enshrined in law in 2023. But he believes some lawmakers had other motives because the new bill allows beverages containing THC to be sold in grocery stores.
It's disappointing. We're competing with grocery stores, so we're done.
State Senator Roger Smitherman is a Democrat from Birmingham. He helped craft this latest bill, a compromise with those in the legislature wanting what would effectively be a complete ban on many hemp-derived products in the state. The products, like gummies and vapes, have been popular in the state since a loophole in the 2018 hemp bill allowed them to be sold. Now, Smitherman agrees the bill, if it becomes law, will hurt many businesses in the state that focus on these products.
I think it is going to have an economic impact on them.
But Smitherman says the bill that's been passed is better for those businesses than the original version.
One thing you have to remember, when the bill came out the House, it was a total ban on everything. So to get from zero to get them to that point, that was a major accomplishment.
If the bill is signed by Governor... According to a study from the Environmental Defense Fund and Texas A&M University, Alabama ranks fifth nationwide for farmers' vulnerability to drought. In 2024 alone, the state's farmers are expected to earn $6 billion less than the previous year due to drought conditions. Andrew Lentz is with the EDF. He says research is showing dire outcomes caused by climate change.
You know, as temperatures rise and periods between rains are getting longer, that really increases drought risk as soils and plants lose water through evaporation more quickly.
It's not so much that rainfall totals in the state have decreased, but how and when the rains come. Lee Ellenberg is an associate state climatologist for Alabama, and he explains it this way.
The average rainfall for the year will be about the same. However, the intensity and frequency of those events may shift and become more concentrated.
With more intense rainfalls, rain bombs, as they're sometimes called, less rain soaks into the soil. Many producers in the American Plains and West deal with a shortage of rainfall with irrigation. But that's not viable in most operations in Alabama, where farms are cut up into small parcels. Chad Smith raises cattle and Wilcox. Ferris Stevens is the chairman of the Alabama Educational Television Commission, which holds APT's broadcast license. He says there are two interrelated reasons behind the potential break with PBS. One is that APT has to find ways to cut its budget due to the Trump administration slashing all federal funding for public broadcasting. Stevens notes APT has already taken steps in that direction.
Unfortunately, we have 11 people that we had to let go because there was no funds.
The other reason is because he says President Donald Trump ran on the promise he would defund public media.
And so overwhelming majority of Alabamians, 65%, voted for him. So those are things we have to consider as well.
Meaning APT as a state agency should follow the president and the majority of Alabama voters. Trump cut funding to PBS as well as NPR, the network with which WBHM is affiliated, because he sees the outlet's news coverage as unfair and biased. Elena Bookman is a Birmingham Metro reporter for AL.com. She attended the full commission's most recent meeting on October 28th, during which disaffiliation was discussed. She says some commissioners noted their agreement with the president.
There was absolutely some mention of perceived bias. Les Barnett did very outrightly call PBS. He said that PBS has made themselves the enemy.
Les Barnett is another commissioner. He's also served in various leadership positions for the Alabama GOP. While he allowed WBHM to interview him earlier this week, he declined to allow that interview to be recorded. He said he believes...